through trusting in Jesus and what he has done for you by giving himself on the cross and rising again, interceding for you. This is who you are. And then he gets to, because of who you are, this is how you live. Bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Walking according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, who are at war with each other. The love, the joy, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, and all of those things. He says, because you are this, this is how you need to live. Does that make sense? This is the same kind of thing. Let's read it together. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body. What is this next phrase? So also is Christ. I want you to think about this for a second. Does he say, all the members of that one body being many should be one body? He doesn't say should be one body, does he? He says, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Have you ever had to lecture your hand that it's part of your body? Say, you know, you really ought to be a team player here. You really ought to go with us wherever we go, all the rest of my body here. No, you never have to lecture your hand to tell it that it should be part of your body. Because why? It is. Some of us may have been hit by diseases and conditions that might even make our hands act like they're not part of the body, but still they are, right? They might get out of control a little bit or something like that, but the reason that's so troubling is because they are, in fact, part of the body. And this is what Paul is saying, and then he goes on. For by one Spirit, and here's where he's making the case. You know how it is writing a paper. Those of you that have written papers for teachers in school, you put your thesis out there, and then you prove your thesis. Well, Paul has put out his thesis. One body. One body. And then here's his proofs. Here's his demonstration and evidence. For by how many spirits? One Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. There is how many bodies? One body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Have you noticed anything repeated in this? Has anything jumped out at you? One, just in case you couldn't notice that. One body. One Spirit. One hope. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of us all. Could it be any clearer? Paul is establishing the reality in which we live. He's establishing the fact that lights up, that empowers, that underlies, that is at the center of every other fact about life together in the family of God. One. One body. Only one body, because there is only one Spirit, there is only one Lord, only one baptism, only one faith, only one God and Father of all. We'll get into the implications of that more, but I want you to think about this. So I was thinking about illustrations for this. I had to process through one that has brushed up against my mind from time to time. It's from quantum physics, and it kind of dawned on me that when you're using an illustration to help people understand something, it's probably good to use an illustration that people understand. But indulge me for a second. I'm very interested in science. And there's this concept in quantum physics, and please don't go telling people that your pastor understands quantum physics, because that would be almost opposite of the truth. But anyway, there's this concept in quantum physics called entanglement. You ever heard of entanglement? It's very weird. Einstein himself called it derisively, spooky action at a distance. Okay? That's what he thought of it. But entanglement is this idea, and the best I could find in my deep and thorough 30 seconds here and 15 minutes there study all this week was that it hasn't been demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt, but there are a lot of indicators that it in fact does work. Entanglement says that two particles can, such as a photon, can be connected with each other on some fundamental level, whether they are with each other or whether they are way apart from each other, light years apart from each other. This was one of the problems that Einstein had with it, and that was that when you act on the one particle, even when you observe the one particle, it affects the other particle, no matter how many light years away it might be. And Einstein found that to be a violation of the idea that nothing can travel faster than light. Because if that happens instantaneously, then something seems to have traveled faster than light. But the deal with entanglement, and you can get this, because I could get it, is that you do something to the one, and it makes something happen to the other. Because they are fundamentally connected. I couldn't get to the bottom of how they got connected or why they got connected, but they are fundamentally connected. You do something to the one, and it happens, something happens to the other at the same time. You know, this coming week, a lot of people are going to turn their minds back to the civil rights movement of the late 50s and the 60s. And to celebrate the whole approach of nonviolent resistance spearheaded by Martin Luther King and others along with him. And one of the things that was central to that branch, shall we say, or that heart of the civil rights movement that touches my heart is the conviction that if you oppress or hurt or harm another person, that you are also harming yourself. You know, Martin Luther King talked about, you know, it would be easy to have characterized the civil rights movement as simply one group of people trying to get what's theirs. But a conviction that Martin Luther King Jr. had, which is a conviction that I share, is that if you are behaving wrongly towards a group of people, it's not them only that have the problem. That you are being harmed by the kind of person that you are allowing yourself to be. Does that make sense? You are being harmed by the kind of person that you allow yourself to be. And if you can be persuaded, if you can be brought to the place where you will allow that to be changed about you, where you will stop putting someone else down to lift yourself up, where you will stop denying someone else's rights because of the rights that you think that you have, that you are blessed, that you are made more what you were created to be, that negative impacts in your life are being taken away. This is what we're talking about, especially in the family of God. There is one body. There is one body and only one body. Of course, using the principle that Jesus gave to his disciples, as he was about to leave, he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit and then to go and to work in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So as we take this great principle that we are one body, not that we should be one body, but that we are one body, where do we start? Jerusalem, which of course is English Oaks. No, don't quote me on that either. Nothing about physics, nothing about where Jerusalem, okay? Got it? All right. So, let's start here. Maybe let's start in our families even. How about that? Let's start in our families. Let's start here. And you know what? When I say let's start here, I feel a little bit sheepish because I love the experience of family that I have here at English Oaks already. I love the experience of family that I have here. But you know what? I got this problem. I keep reading the Bible about God's dreams. And as good as I believe we have it here, his dreams for us are so much more. Remember that verse in Ephesians that says so much more than we could even ask or think? Do you want to be loved? Do you want to be loved? Do you want to be treasured and valued? Do you want the gifts that God has placed in you to be able to blossom and come to their full fulfillment so that you experience the satisfaction and joy of experiencing God working with through you to the blessing of others and even bringing people into the family of God? This is what we're talking about. We are talking about being that one body that God has called us to be, that one that Jesus prayed for, so that, as we use the terminology, this work that God has given us of showing Jesus to the world, of giving his message for our time, so that as many as people as possible can be blessed and saved, starts here with us being one body. Oh, we divide the body in so many different ways. By class, by race, by people who have one set of irritating behaviors versus people who have another set of irritating behaviors. So many ways. By history, by things that someone has done or might do, or maybe even things that we have done to someone that we just can't consider being close. Let the Holy Spirit work with your heart. Let the Holy Spirit work with your mind. Let him open to your heart maybe walls that you have built that make it hard to say when you think of, you know, like with Burton helped us to see visually, oh no, that's not me. Oh no, that's not me. Look at this. I thought this was a bad thing and that I couldn't find a Band-Aid. I was out scraping dirt off my mother's driveway yesterday and I should have worn a glove. And I got that. That doesn't look like me. That's not the way my skin's supposed to be, worn raw like that, but guess what? It is. You want further proof? You don't have to do this, but I think you can do this as a thought experiment. Take off your shoes. Just do it in your mind. You don't have to do it because I think you'll get this without actually doing it. But if you must, feel free. Take off your shoes and, not all of you, but see these uprights that the pews are on in front of you? Kick one as hard as you can. With the tip of your toe, big toe, any toe. Yeah, kick one as hard as you can, and you'll find out what? You are one body. You are one body. Every last part of you, you are one body. You know all this drama about me and my health? It was over practically microscopic cells in my kidneys. You know that? Affected all of me. Come on. You are one body. Every piece of you matters. And guess what that means? We are one body. And every one of us matters. There is no one in here, no matter what fundamental disagreement you may have, no matter what may have happened in the past between you, no matter what they do that kind of bugs you, there is no one that you can point at and say, that is not me. That is not us. We are all one body, the body of Christ. Can you imagine being the soldier who threw the spear into his side? What do you think he feels when we try and split ourselves and say we are not his body? What do you think he feels? Oh, you might say, well, you know, he was writing to people in Bible times, you know, the Corinthian church. He established that church himself. It must have been a wonderful church. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians? These are the people that he's saying, you are one body. In chapter 1, he says, I hear that there are contentions among you. This shouldn't be. He goes on, he says, there's sexual immorality among you. This should not be. He goes on, last Sabbath we looked at the Lord's Supper. He says, some of you are showing off how much you have when you come together at the one feast that's supposed to show how much you are all one. The body of Christ says, this is nonsense. This cannot be. And then he doesn't say, you should be one body. He says, you are one body. You are one body. No, we're trying to put it together. You are one body. Thank you for that correction. You are one body. Do not forget it. And if something tells you that someone else in the body of Christ is the other, is not part of you, is not connected with you, you get on your knees, figuratively or literally, and repent before God until he gives you that conviction back cemented in your heart that we are one body. This isn't the only place that Paul has put this together. You can go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Did I already go to Ephesians? Yeah, there it is. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4. There. Complements what we saw in 1 Corinthians. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Did you see the graphic that Pastor John put up on our Facebook page about this? I want you to notice about this. What could you say about every face that's in this image of Christ? Every face is in Christ, isn't it? Every face is in Christ. And this is a startling truth that we need to start absorbing and realizing. That, of course, the body of Christ is bigger than English Oaks Seventh-day Adventist Church. Isn't it? How many lords are there? There's one Lord. How many faiths are there? There's one faith. How many gods and father of us all are there? There is one. I'm excited about this Thursday. I am excited to see God's family coming together to be the light that he called us to be. Remember what he said happens when we are one? What happens? The world sees who he is. Do you see that? How can we be effective in reaching this community if we compete with each other, if we act like each other don't exist, or if we pick at each other? How can that be? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. So we know that we are doing the will of God when we plan and we work and we sacrifice and we let our egos be blown to smithereens, coming together to be the body of Christ, or actually to acknowledge the body of Christ, because we already are, whether we like it or not. And I'll leave it there, but I'll let this tease the corners of your mind. We talked about it a little bit last week, but everyone who genuinely, like you, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior is one with you. You know that? Everyone. Whether they are Seventh-day Adventist, and we might want to put in yet, or not. Whether they are Seventh-day Adventist or not, a true believer in Jesus is one with you. Anyone who is trusting Him and gives their life to Him is your brother, is your sister, but more than that, is one with you in the body of Christ. Oh, I wonder what victories God will gain for His last day's message as we start to realize that. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying? What victories? If you approach someone who needs the message, and you know, we went through the three angels' message, and God's people need His three angels' message that's designed to bring together His people in the last days and prepare them for the coming of the Lord. What a difference it makes if you acknowledge someone as a fellow follower of Jesus, if that's what they are. Whether they know what you know or think what you think or not. What a difference. What a starting place you have when you're sharing with someone who's part of the body of Christ. And of course, in different ways you can join to bring others, as Pastor Scott does in the high schools, to bring others to know Jesus. It doesn't call for us to compromise what we know to be true from the Word of God. It doesn't call for us to try and merge denominations or anything like that. But it does call us to look at each other as fellow members of the body of Christ. This is the Word of God. This is what He says to us today. One body, one Lord, the body of Christ. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for what You have gone through to make it possible for us to be the body of Christ. Thank You for what unutterable pain and agony You went through with the cross, so that we could be brought together as Your people, as Your family. Father, I pray, starting right here and right now, any barriers that may exist between us could come down. Anything that makes us think that I'm this and you're that will come down. We embrace the promise that You have given us, that Your Spirit will guide us into all truth, that Your Spirit will guide us into Your faith, Your Spirit will guide us into Your way, that we all, being connected to the head, which is Christ, will come to the unity of faith through Him. But Father, in the meantime, as we grow, as we study, as we learn together, as we practice being Your people, please Bring us together. Bring us together. Bring us together in every way that you dream of and plan, socially, in ministry, in family groups. Father, bring us together. Let us not only be the one body of Christ, but let us live that way. And Father, my heart especially goes right now to anyone who might be here in this room, anyone who might be listening, who believes that there's just no way that they could be that part of the body of Christ. That there's some scab that should be cast away or just too bad. Oh, Father, I pray that right now that they could know that Jesus gave his life for every last one of us. That all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all we like sheep have gone astray. But Jesus came and took that all on himself. And as we come to you confessing who we've been and what we've done and receiving what Jesus has done, that we are forgiven, that we are made clean, and we are accepted without reservation into the body of Christ. And so let us live until Jesus comes. I pray in his name. Amen. Afterwards, if you would like some help making sure that you know that you are accepted by God and his family, I ask an elder to be in this corner and in this corner, and they can talk with you and pray with you and show you from the Word of God that you are accepted as a child of God. May God bless us all as we live as the body of Christ.